Welcome to Bedhampton Church. Contact us at www.bedhampton.church. But for now, let's continue that journey with this input.
Happy New Year to you all. I wonder how you're getting on with the new year so far, 4 days in. New year, new diary, new calendar on the wall, new optimism for the first few days. And of course, there is always the New Year's resolutions. New year, new me, and all of that. The determination that this year will finally be the year that we get organised, that we eat sensibly, that we exercise regularly, we keep up with our reading plan, or we stop doing whatever it is that we've been meaning to stop doing for years. I tend to start the new year with very good intentions and then discover somewhere around mid-January that I'm still essentially the same person that I was before, but with a slightly guiltier conscience. And then Epiphany arrives right in the middle of all of that. In this season of fresh starts and high hopes, it gently reminds us that while the new year can be helpful, we actually need what hasn't changed at all. New year, same God, as Max said in his rector's reflection this week. And perhaps that's reassuring, because if we're honest, what we need most as we step into the new year isn't a better version of ourselves, but guidance. Someone who actually knows the way. So I wonder, when you last followed directions and discovered rather too late that they were wrong. I've learnt over the years that confidence and accuracy are not the same thing. I remember once being entirely sure that I knew where I was going, declined all help from technology and sat nav, and ended up on a road where I had to do that embarrassing thing where you stop, turn around and go the other way, pretending that you were supposed to do that all along. Epiphany is about guidance, about light, about discovering that God doesn't always lead where we expect, but always leads us where we need to go. And the Magi are a wonderful companion for the new year. They're not kings, despite the carols. They're not Jewish. They're not insiders to the faith at all. They're astrologers, people who study the stars, and God meets them exactly where they are. He speaks to them in a language that they can understand. He doesn't insist that they become something else first. They notice something unusual. They pay attention. They set out on a journey that is long, inconvenient, and uncertain. And when they reach Jerusalem, they do what seems sensible. They go to a palace, because if you're looking for a king, that's where you would expect to find one. Except the king that they're looking for doesn't live there. Herod, as we heard, is deeply unsettled by the news. Matthew tells us that he is disturbed, and so is all of Jerusalem with him. The light has arrived, and instead of welcoming it, Herod feels threatened by it. He wants control, he wants certainty, he wants to stay exactly where he is. And if we're honest, that tension still lives in our lives too. We like the idea of guidance, as long as it confirms the route that we've already chosen. We like the idea of Jesus, as long as it doesn't rearrange things too much. Eventually, the star appears again, and Matthew says that when the Magi saw it, they were overwhelmed with joy. Not politely pleased, not quietly relieved, but overwhelmed with joy. Because the journey had been confusing, the answers were incomplete, and suddenly there was the light again. And where does it lead them? Not to power, not to status, but to a child in an ordinary home with his mother. God's glory revealed not in grandeur, but in vulnerability. They kneel, they worship, they bring gifts. And we all know that joke that if it had been three wise women, they would have arrived on time and brought practical things like nappies and talcum powder. But the Magi bring gold and frankincense and myrrh, gifts that speak of kingship and divinity and suffering. They don't understand everything yet, but they understand enough of who this baby is to respond. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, calls this a mystery, something hidden for generations and is now revealed, that God's grace is wider than anyone had ever imagined. The outsiders are brought in. That is the story for the people who never thought it was meant for them. And then comes my favourite line in the whole story of the Magi. After meeting Jesus, the Magi return home on another road. It's like they encountered Christ and they cannot go back the same way that they came. What feels like a very gentle New Year challenge. Not New Year, new me, not a list of things that we need to fix or improve, but New Year, same God, and a willingness to let God guide us, shape us, and sometimes quietly redirect us. Later in our service, we will come forward for communion, and like the Magi, we don't come because we have everything sorted, or because our journey is perfectly planned. We come because we have seen enough light to keep coming. We bring what we have, our faith and our doubts, our hope and our weariness, our long for faithfulness as we kneel before Christ. Not a distant king in a palace, but a God who meets us where we are, finds us with grace and sends us out changed. So perhaps as we begin this new year, we might discover that the greatest gift is not becoming someone new, but trusting again in the God who has been faithful all along, allowing us to light our path step by step into the year ahead. New year, same God, and it turns out that that is enough. Amen.
You have been listening to Bedhampton Church. Our prayer is that this helps you journey with Jesus and serve your community by sharing God's love and friendship. Subscribe and join us for more discussion at www.bedhampton.church. All material Creative Commons copyright. Contact us for more details.